Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 183 of Nerd Pride Radio. 183, the last U.S. highway, the last U.S. route to be paved in the United States was U.S. Highway 183. And here's what's even more interesting about that, at least for me, is that the last section of that to be paved was a 20-mile stretch just north of Taylor, Nebraska, here in Loup County, which is, yeah, I'm like looking that up on the map going, oh, wait, I've been there? Or, I mean, I've never actually stopped there, but I've driven over that stretch of road before at least a couple of times. I'm like, I know that spot. Wow. So anyway, Nebraska, yeah, the very last to finish paving the U.S. highways. How's that? I'm so proud. So ask me how I'm, oh, and by the way, when did we do that? 1967. All right, now ask me how I'm doing today.
Go on. Bad.
No, go on. Ask me.
How are you doing?
I am awesome. Thank you, Eli. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd plus. There's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like the last dying breath of a jabberwock. Sure, it's really unpleasant and yet so immensely satisfying. All right. Straight up, meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. This is the time for me. This is where I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. All right, first up on my master list, it's my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games, if it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. And this is actually, I don't really have a whole lot this week. This is going to be quick. In fact, my whole meticulously plotted portion is going to be really fast this week because I got nothing. I mean, there's some stuff that's piled up on the list, but nothing that's just burning except for a couple of little things here. So, with role-playing games, we just played Pathfinder this week again after, you know, we had, our regular every other Thursday group. We had to take a week off, so, we finally got to play this week, and I'm telling you, level 11 is just as nice as I thought it would be. So, for those of you who even care at all, we've now, our trail of trouble has now led us to, the Giant's Lair. I think we were at the Giant's Lair last time I talked to you guys about this, because we've been there a while. This is a long string of very big fights and lots of interesting things going on. So, I just wanted to tell you guys, I'm having such a good time. I really am. Talvin asked me last week how much I was enjoying level 11, so I've already gotten that part taken care of. And I'm looking here because, you know, you guys know I'm waiting for my character to finish building a set of wings here. And then once I have my wings, then everything will be complete. But, as I'm looking in here, yeah, see, still 19 and a half days in game to go before my wings are ready. And that's, oh, See, and that's the problem with that. Yeah, 19 and a half days. That doesn't seem like much, right? 3 weeks. Except that, in general, there's always something attacking us. There's always something we have to be running off to do. There's always something going on. I can't devote all my time to making wings as much as I'd love to. And so that means that I only get done a quarter day worth of progress every day. So technically, we're looking at something on the order of, what is this, 11 weeks, 12 weeks in reality before I get this done? This is going to take forever, man. But we're getting there. We're getting there. All right. You know what? Now I'm kind of thinking maybe I shouldn't even have done a gaming segment because I don't even really have anything to talk about. God, I thought I would. I thought I'd have something here, but I didn't.
I'm playing Skyrim, if that matters.
There you go. Eli's back there playing Skyrim. I don't know if you can hear him shouting from across the room. Is that cool enough for you guys? God, what do you want from me? You know what? I'm gonna just bail on this segment. You know, in fact, I'm gonna go back and just erase this entire segment because I thought I had some more stuff here, and I thought, oh yeah, I'll talk about the Pathfinder game we played, and then I don't remember where that was gonna lead. So you know what? Just forget this. I'm gonna go back and just erase this entire segment, and we'll pretend as if the whole thing starts with.
And now for something completely different.
That's right, something completely different. Just stuff I don't have a category for yet. I thought about making this a nerd rage, but I'm not quite ragey enough for it. Which is too bad because, you know, I have the new end sound for my nerd rages, but, we'll have to wait for that for next week. Here's the deal. I take a medication for my high blood pressure called Tribenzor. And Tribenzor is the tri, and it means it's a combination of three different medications. There are three, before I started taking Tribenzor, I had three medications I was taking all for my high blood pressure, and my doctor kept explaining to me that, you know, they work together very well, and that usually, you know, you prescribe these in concert. And so he said, now there's Tribenzor, you can just get all three of them in a single pill. He says, but, you know, it's not generic yet, it's kind of pricey, but here's a coupon, take that in. The coupon got me a whole year's worth where I was paying only $25 a month for it. And it turns out that when that coupon expires, I just go print up another coupon off the internet and I just keep going. So there's been like 4 years of this stuff that, you know, I've just been paying, you know, my $25 a month or whatever it is for my Tribenzor. And then I get all three of those meds in one convenient pill. And the three meds, for what it matters, Olmesartan, which I don't believe, I think that one just went to generic like a year ago, so you can get it generic now. It was actually a replacement for whatever the other one I was taking was that was generic. I mean, I was getting the three of them together for like, one of them was $5, one of them was, you know, my standard $25 copay, and then another one was like $2. It wasn't even anything for the three different pills I was taking. So I was paying like $30-$35 a month for them. Well, now I'm getting them all in one pill for $25, so this is good. But it's the Olmesartan, Amlodipine, and then whatever that water pill is that dehydrates you, the diuretic, the one that makes me pee all the time. When if I don't take my pills for a day and then start back up, oh my god, yeah, can't stop peeing all day long. But anyway, here's the thing: I take the Tribenzor, right? And so I call in a new prescription, or I call in the Sandy prescription refilled, and I get a text message from my pharmacy saying, "Hey, your Tribenzor coupon has expired. If you want to print out and bring in a new one right away, then it'll save you making an extra trip." I'm like, all right, cool. It's nice that I know someone in the pharmacy who can send me messages like that. That's awesome. And so I did. I printed up my coupon, and it took me a while to sort it out. But hey, for the money I save, it's cool. And I got in there, and it took this person maybe 10 minutes to get the thing entered into the computer system. So I'm standing around waiting for 10 minutes. Again, you know, I understand it's complicated. I'm not impatient, but as I'm waiting around, I'm looking over the counter and I realize, oh, hey, there's my medication right there. And look, I can even see all the information on it. I wonder how much it costs if I don't have a coupon, because the price will be right there on it since they didn't have a coupon when they ran it through. And I look over and this pill is $305 for a 30-day supply. $305 for 30 pills. $10 a pill. Okay, I get that there are some medications that are very expensive. That's what we have insurance for. That's what this coupon is for. But that's, you know, $305 after my insurance pays what they think is their fair share. And yet, I then go to pay for it after they finally get the coupon entered and everything's set up. I go to pay for it and they say, oh, no, it's free. What? Yeah, no, it's free. It's your total is zero. after the coupon. I'm like, really? Yeah, it'll be zero all year. So I don't have to pay anything out of pocket for this thing all year, which is awesome for me. I'm not going to argue about this at all. I'm thrilled about this. But then my question is, here we are. This is a medication where all three elements of this medication have generics available, and therefore it should all be dirt cheap. It should. I don't know how much my insurance is paying for it, but whatever my insurance is compensating them is enough for them to make a profit off the pill. So if that's the case, I've been prescribed this thing for years, and I've never been without a coupon. I've never had to pay full price for this thing, ever. So my question is, who's that $305 for? Who is that full price tag for? Who is it that they're supposed to be ripping off? I mean, is this for people who are in nursing homes? No, because Medicare or Medicaid negotiates this kind of stuff. Is it for people who are institutionalized? Is it for people who just don't know any better or don't have a doctor that tells them to go look for a coupon or a pharmacist that tells them to go look for a coupon? Who is that $305 for? Why is it there? And again, I don't know enough about the situation to know if this is something I should be nerd raging about or if I even care all that much, but it is baffling to me because who is that $305 for? That makes no sense to me. I really don't get it. On the other hand, again, I'm paying nothing, so I can't be too heartbroken about it, but it seems like something unfair is going on in the system somewhere. I just don't know what it is. Talvin, you work with this sort of stuff. You should be able to tell me, right? You have an idea. Because I got nothing on this. This is crazy. So, all right. That's it. That's all I had. I was just baffled by the $305. There you go. Hey, you know what's up next? Nerd Pride Book Report. That's right. Occasionally I read a book, apparently more often lately than usual, but hey, cool. I told you guys this is going to be really quick. This whole meticulously plotted portion today, this is going to be nothing because my book report is just over Percy Jackson and, the first two books, which are, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, and The Lightning Thief is the first one, and The Sea of Monsters is the second one. So I've read those two, and, I gotta tell you, I like them. Yes, okay, Harry Potter ripoffs. I get it. They really are, by the way. You always thought that Percy Jackson was a Harry Potter ripoff before you read it. And then, at least I did. And then I go and read it and I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's definitely, the structure, the parallels are so similar that the only real difference is that Percy's mom is still alive and he's living with her when all of this begins. But otherwise it's kid in not the greatest situation in life and he gets pulled out and finds out that he actually belongs to a magical realm and he's going to be taken away to magical school. And not only is he going to be taken away to magical school, but there's a good chance that he's the chosen one and he's super special. Fortunately, he's going to have all these adventures and terrible things coming after him. But you know what? He has two companions. One, a brainy female, and one, a kind of doofy guy. And the three of them together form a great team to overcome these adventures. Look, at this point, spoiler warning, there is he who shall not be named, who is thought vanquished, but now seems to be making a comeback and that he's going to be our ultimate bad guy for the whole course of the series of books. When you show up to magic school, you get divided into houses based on different characteristics. There's a competition between houses. Harry Potter had its Quidditch and Percy Jackson has its various games, that serve that purpose. They're so much alike. Okay. And yet Percy Jackson's still charming. Even the parts where I see through it and you know what's coming, even though it telegraphs well ahead of time, a lot of things that, God, if I were 10, 11, 15 even, I would be really proud of myself for being able to figure out these things ahead of time. being able to see where the book was going and kind of have a clue, and it made me feel super smart knowing that I figured it out. But as an adult, I'm reading it going, okay, I get it. Yeah, it's cool. But it's still rock solid adventure. And it is, here's the thing. You get hooked in, and the books are, for me at least, just like a 5-hour read for the whole book. Okay. You know, that's the length of a couple of movies. I'm fine with that. It's not as much time as I invest in some of the, even cartoon TV series I'm watching on Netflix and Hulu and stuff. I mean, yeah, 5 hours. God, that was pretty quick. So, and I wound up thoroughly enjoying it. I really did. And plus, it helps that Noah is already, I just finished book 2. Noah has just finished book 5, and he's now starting on some of the supplemental Percy Jackson stuff. And Noah is super thrilled about the whole series. And so therefore, to get to enjoy that with him and share these points with him, oh, it's magical. It's really, really cool. Which, oh, by the way, speaking of simple children's entertainment to be shared, Monster Trucks. I just got posts from Kaz saying that he just saw Monster Trucks with his kids and was thrilled. I had said in my review, when Aiden and I reviewed Monster Trucks a while back, I had said, Kaz, this is your kind of movie. Kaz, you want to see this movie because this is really your style. And sure enough, he went ahead and confirmed that for me and said, yeah, that was my movie, man. That was awesome. So I'm so excited. And now, my brother is watching it with one of his kids, and my brother is halfway through, and he posts on Facebook and says, yeah, I'm only halfway through this movie, but somehow I'm kind of charmed by it already. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's the magic of this thing. It's a bad movie. You know, watching it that this is the dumbest damn thing you've ever seen in your life. This is really stupid. And yet it's so sincere about it that you can't help but go, yeah, but that was kind of cool. I mean, okay, yeah, okay, silly, but boy, that was badass. I mean, that kind of stuff. It's just, God, what a cool movie. I really like Monster Trucks. And that's it. But before we start the Podomatic, let me double check some sound stuff here. Hold on. All right, still even. I just had to connect the power. My laptop just warned me that it was about to die, and I don't like plugging in the power while I'm recording because sometimes that adds a little extra static into the system. But the sound still looks exactly the same, so I guess it's all right. We can go straight into the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, or right near the beginning, because we're only 15 minutes in now, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I'll add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And, oh, you guys, last week I said, you know, I warned you guys that Kyle had sent in a ton of Pod-O-Matics. He's got like 40% of the list. He's going to kind of dominate here. I said, dudes, if you don't want Kyle to dominate everything from here on out, you need to send me some new ones. And man, did you guys respond. You sent me nothing. Nothing at all. Kyle, your challenge went unanswered. So therefore, you are officially the king of the Pod-O-Matic. So you've won. But again, as I said before, it's not like we're short on Pod-O-Matics. We're just Kyle heavy. That's all. But that's all right. The ones we've got to work out. Let me see. The first one is 90. And if I even had my Pod-O-Matic list up on the screen, I would be able to tell you where that is. All right, here we go. All right, number 90 is from... It's from Kyle, no surprise. It's from Kyle, why not? Kyle says, approximately what is the trigger point in winter when you decide you've had enough of this snow shit? And you're ready for spring.
When school gets canceled too much.
It's amazing that you would even ask that question since, you know, you get what? 2 snows a year and they don't even stick to the ground? I mean, you live in Texas, dude. But for me, as Eli says, when school gets canceled too often. The problem is that They allow for, there we go, a certain number of snow days in a year up here in Nebraska. And so, you know, you get your first day off. Awesome. Everyone's thrilled to have a day off. Your second day off, not bad. We're cool with that. Third day off, all right, now they start rearranging things. Your third snow day off, and they're like, okay, look, we can't really afford another snow day, so maybe we need to rearrange some stuff. Maybe that extra day that we were going to have off in April, you know, for a teacher workshop day or whatever it was. Guess what? I think we're all going to have to go to school now for that one. Oh, God, you're up to 5 snow days? 6? Hey, you know what? We've decided we're extending the school year further into the summer. Ugh, that's when it gets ugly. Yeah, first snow day, second snow day, those are awesome. But the minute you get up to 3 or 4 of them, yeah, always nice to have the day off. Always nice to be able to spend the day with the family because we can't go anywhere. And, you know, we can sit around and drink hot chocolate and watch movies and play games. And, oh, that's wonderful. But we also know that, God, we're going to have to make it up. And it means we're going to have to go another 2 days longer into the summer. 3, whatever. We hate doing that. So, yeah, that's when we're tired of it. So, 86. 86 is also from Kyle. Hey, who would have guessed? So, Austin is weird, Kyle says. Yes, I know, it's part of their slogan. We saw a Mexican magician in the downtown adjacent area last week. He did some impressive close-up magic with cards and some not-impressive magic with a floating orb. Floating is in quotation marks there. For the finale, he announced in a thick accent, "Look closely, because on the count of 3, I will disappear. 1, 2. And then, poof, he disappeared without a trace. Oh, God, that's terrible. Terrible. I can't believe you made me read that whole thing. Without a trace. You're sick. That's what your problem is, all right? In fact, at the very beginning of that joke, when you said a Mexican magician, I was going to say, well, why is it got to be Mexican? What, are you racist here? Why is that even important to the trick? What is wrong? Oh, God damn it. God damn it. I walked right into it. I'm a fool. A fool. 36.
Is that on purpose just for comedic effect?
36, yes. On purpose for comedic effect. No, I'm a fool. No, definitely. 36 is from Kaz. Kaz, who is a person who is not Kyle. And Kaz says, when you have to wear fancy dress, do you wear Oxfords or brogues? That is an excellent question. And since I don't know what you mean there, because I'm not, I mean, Oxford's a shoe, right? But what, I don't know brogue in this context. I'm assuming another type of shoe? Are they shirts? It could be anything. But hold on. Yeah, see, Google tells me that a brogue is an Oxford shoe, but with detailing done on the cap. Oh. Then, I don't know. I have one pair of nice dress shoes, and I guess, since my nice dress shoes do not have detailing done on the cap, mine are Oxfords. So there you go. I would not have known that without you asking me the question, but now I feel smarter, and life is so much better. 58. I mean, I'm just lucky to have a pair of dress shoes at this point. You know, I'm not a fancy man. Really not a fancy man. So 58 is from Ronster. Ronster, who, by the way, is another one of our listeners who is not Kyle. Ronster says, what's the last thing you kickstarted? Have we not had that question before? Man, that sounds familiar.
I know.
Well, if you know, you have to come around here where people can hear you.
I know it. It was Mars Needs Cows.
No, we haven't kickstarted that one yet.
No, why did I say that one?
What? Which one? What did we kickstart?
I can't remember. It was something with tiny little lizard men.
Tiny little lizard men?
I don't know their names. Kobolds?
Oh, Kobolds. No, I haven't kickstarted that either because they haven't gotten the Kickstarter on it. I mean, we have the playtest copies. Yeah. Yeah, we have the copies of it. We have the print and play copies of those.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
We will be getting it, though.
God willing. What I have kickstarted is, I don't know the last thing I kickstarted, but I know that I did kickstart, the last thing I received, how's that, was the fidget cubes. So we kickstarted the fidget cubes. They were supposed to be here by Christmas. They were here by March, so, you know, a little off, but They are super cool. All the kids loved them. We were very happy to get our fidget cubes. Those were wonderful. Now waiting, I have, Flutter, Flutter, the graphic novel. I have volumes 2 and 3. 3 is the one that's being kickstarted, but I'm having them ship me 2 and 3 as my prize. So I'll be getting those hopefully this summer. I've got the card game Cobras, which I'm in the middle of the Kickstarter on, and hopefully that'll be here. It looks like they just got them. Oh, last update. There we go. They got all of them done, and they are being shipped from China or wherever it was that they had all the cards made. And so all the sets are finished and being shipped to them. And then once they get them, they'll be mailing them out to us. So hopefully 5 weeks left on Cobras. And, I just got an update on Beneath Nexus and how they're doing on that one. And so hopefully Beneath Nexus this summer, they're all there. I think maybe as much as I'm excited about having my own set of Cobras, because the Cobras card game is really awesome. It's one that I keep sharing with people, and everyone I share it with loves it. And so I'm really excited to get my published set of Cobras. But honestly, the Kickstarter I'm on right now that I am most excited about is Laser Riders. I cannot wait for Laser Riders. Oh, they keep showing me pictures of the new pieces, and everything's all glittery and shiny, and it looks awesome. And Laser Riders, it is. I've talked to you guys about it before, but for those of you who didn't tune into those 18 episodes where I talked about it, Laser Riders is, it's Tron. It's the Tron light cycles, but you play them out on your own tabletop, and you have big old plastic pieces of track that you lay out, to mark where your vehicle's gonna go. And, you know, the faster you go, the harder it is to maneuver. If you slam into anything, you die. It's really cool. And I've only gotten to play it the one time, but I'm super excited about it. And it looks like it's pretty close to done. So again, all of this stuff, hopefully this summer. I would love to get my Laser Riders in time to have them sign it when I get to Gen Con. That would be pretty cool too. So we'll see. We'll see. But those are the things I'm kickstarting right now that I can remember off the top of my head. 73. 73 comes, whoa, my scroll got away from me. All right, there we go. 73 is from Ronster again. And Ronster says, you have won dance lessons for you and your wife. The choices are swing dancing, belly dancing, break dancing, line dancing, Irish dancing, and square dancing. Which style of dance will you learn? All right, look. I would love to learn some swing dancing. That would be, of the ones shown to me here, swing dancing would be the coolest, but man, that seems way more active than my old body might be able to take, but man, that would be cool. But honestly, other than, I'm not into belly dancing or break dancing. Neither one of those appeal to me. But you're going to give me, look, square dance, swing dance, line dance, Irish dance. I would take any of those. I would do any of that stuff. I mean, swing dancing would be my first choice, but I'll take any of them that, you know, if it gives us a chance to go out and be active and have fun together, I don't care. The particular music that's on in the background really doesn't matter to me that much. So there you go. 14. 14 comes from a listener named It's Kyle. All right. Kyle says, pick your favorite prime number that is at least 3 digits. Ooh, that's a good question because, I don't think about 3-digit prime numbers all that often. I mean, I guess a good prime at that size is one that, a number that looks like it should be significant, looks like it should have some meaning, and yet it doesn't, or it looks, not to say that prime numbers don't have meaning, but I'm saying as numbers that look like there should be something going on there, and yet you add them up and you go, oh, no, that's still prime. I've always thought, look, 227, just because there used to be a TV show, with 227 in the title. So I've always known that that was a prime number, but like 233 is one that feels like, you know, the 33 there. Oh, that feels like a composite number, doesn't it? And yet, yeah, 233 is not. 233 is a prime. Or, 349. I like 349 because, 349, it falls, it's one less than 350. So 350 where you've got the convergence of 5 and 7 right there. But also, it's just one more than 348, which is where the factors of 3 all come around. It's on the 348. So, you know, the 3 and the 6 and the whatever. So, 349, that's probably a good one. If I had to pick just one, 349 would probably be the one. But, there's lots of good prime numbers in there. How can you show favorites? Seriously. 35. 35, now I have to roll down, and 35 comes from, oh, there it is, 35 comes from Kyle. Hey, good luck, Kyle. All right, I'm surprised you got in on this episode. I'm thinking of playing 3rd edition Mutants and Masterminds with my 2 youngest kids. I've run a bunch of Pathfinder, but nothing else. What advice do you have unique to GMing superhero games? Okay. It is, I don't know, Pathfinder is, especially if you've played anything higher than about 5th or 6th level in Pathfinder, I mean, your character's already getting to be superheroes at this point. But for superhero role-playing games, I would, I'm trying to think of the times I've played and what advice I would give to somebody. I'm building up to it and I'm wanting to just spit it out as if, you know, I'm this voice of authority, but, it's been a while. I mean, my advice, honestly, is, and this is where I have been weak for many years, especially in superhero games, is don't worry so much about the powers and make it more about personality. All right. Make sure that your heroes, make sure they have involved backstories, that they've come up with all sorts of good stuff for themselves. Make sure that they've created some great NPC type characters that are part of their backstory and, you know, their Aunt May or their whoever, that people that are part of their lives that they actually care about, people you can use as pawns if you have to. But make sure that they are well developed, and then make sure that the bad guys are also well developed. There's nothing worse than those cartoony, early Spider-Man or Batman villains, you know the type where it was more about, you know, ooh, this villain has this cool new gimmicky power. How is our hero going to be able to defeat that power? And then the motivation for why they're there and what they're doing is really secondary to, ooh, you've never had to fight someone with this power. And really it should be about the people. I mean, yes, you want cool powers. You want to be able to catch them off guard with something unexpected, but more than that, you want the people involved in your story to have good reasons for doing what they're doing. That's really important. I can't stress that enough. And a lot of times, and not just in superhero games, in a lot of games, it took me a long time to realize that it wasn't enough for me to just create a world and a plot, but I also had to people that world. I had to populate it with characters that the players will care about, care about good or bad. I mean, whether they hate them or they don't, you know, they fall in love with them or they want to protect them or they just laugh at them, but they care about them in some way. And I think just from the way you talk about your games with your kids, I think this is something that you're already naturally kind of good at, but it's what I would pay attention to if I were starting a superhero game for my kids, is I would be looking for that kind of stuff and just making sure that I'm really developing the characters. But that's me. 55. 55 comes from... Dun, dun, dun. Oh, there it was. And there it goes. But so close. 55 comes from Kaz. Hey, Kaz. Kaz says, what pen are you using now? A pen? I have one pen that I have at work that is a clicker pen that I really like. Because, I don't know, it's one of those, I don't know if it's a gel pen, I don't know what it is about it, But it flows. It flows really well. Like it's a fine point, and yet the ink feels like I'm getting a good flow of ink that just keeps things moving. I don't feel like I'm scratching at the paper. I'm just gliding over it. I love that pen. I have no idea what kind of pen it is. I mean, no idea. I just know it's a black clicker pen that writes really smoothly, and I'm very happy with it, and I like it. But I have it only at work on my desk. I don't carry pens around with me anymore because I don't have my pocket mod on me. So therefore, I just keep notes on my phone. And so therefore I don't carry the pens with me. I leave that one on my desk. If I have a pen at home, it just gets taken because there are so many people in this house and everybody always needs something to write with. So, it just disappears. But then Kaz goes on, says, do you have a preference in writing instruments or do you just grab what's nearest? All right. My preference is always to write in pen, and that's about it. I like writing in pen. I do not like writing in pencil. And, if I have a nice, smooth writing black pen like the one I have at work, oh yeah, well, I'll obviously grab that one first. I have 100 pens on my desk. I always reach for that one. And if I don't find it right away, I will hunt for it for, I'll give it a good 10 seconds before I finally give up and just use a different pen and figure it'll come around next time. But most of the time, you know, I'm reaching for a pen. If I don't have a pen immediately around me, then I'll write with whatever. I don't care. Unless it's like writing a check or something like that and you need a pen. But, you know, I'll go with whatever I've got. But I prefer pen. Ballpoint pen. 35. Didn't we just do 35? I'm pretty sure we did. It's almost as if someone's not trying. Here, let's try again. All right, 23, my favorite number. 23 is from Master. Hey, long time Master. Master says, tell us about The Wall. The Wall is a concept album and movie from Pink Floyd, many decades ago. I would have thought this was before your time, but, supposedly, it's a really great movie to get really high and watch it. The movie is a mix of live action and some animation, and it gets kind of trippy. But the album, one of my favorites. I really enjoy The Wall. I think it's great. In fact, I had it on cassette tape, and I played it so much that it wound up getting destroyed. And so while I was in Korea, we were in Korea, and we found a guy selling bootleg copies of anything and everything. And so I asked for a copy of The Wall, which they had. And then when I got it, amazingly, it was beautiful because it's this bootleg copy of The Wall, of Pink Floyd's The Wall. And they even made fake, cover art for the little, whatever you call the jacket liner inside of a cassette, case. And it looked just like the Pink Floyd cover that I had on my previous one, except instead of The Wall, it said The War. I mean, there was like the same drawing, the same artwork, but they had changed it from Wall to War because they don't have American R's over there and they can't hear the difference. And yet, but look at the artwork. Why did you not just copy the whole thing? I don't understand why I don't get it, but it was very cool, and I loved having that around because you get to show it off to people. And go, no, we're listening to The War. I'm sure that wasn't the wall you were asking about, but that's the one I answered. Number 19, up top, there it goes, and 19 is from Kaz. Kaz says, "Oh wait, okay." Kaz says, "What are you reading right now?" I just finished reading Percy Jackson, and the Olympians, Sea of Monsters. And he says, what are you reading right now? Turn to page 24 and read us a paragraph. Oh, you're on. Hey, here it is. Percy Jackson and the Olympians, book 2, The Sea of Monsters, page 24, says, the other adults turned towards me. I knew they would never believe me, even if I could tell them the truth. I grabbed Riptide out of my ruined jeans, told Tyson, come on, and jump through the gaping hole in the side of the building. Well, there you go. Exciting, right? Oh, man, you should have picked a bigger page number. Seriously, there's lots more exciting stuff on the inside, but yeah, they're pretty much always in the middle of fighting something. 47. 47 takes me way down here. There we go. It's from Zimney. Oh, how long has it been since I've heard from Zimney? Like a week? 3 weeks? All right. Zim says, what's a good name for the emperor of all kitten kind? Well, first of all, obviously you're using emperor as a unisex term because it could just as easily be a female cat, and probably is, knowing cats. But I'm gonna, what's a good, you know, I'm tempted to go through and grab, names of powerful rulers from history, good, bad, ugly, and adapt them to kitten names, you know, like you always see the Adolf Hitlers, if you've never seen a Kittler, oh my god, go do an image search for Adolf Hitler. Those things are awesome. You gotta love them. But I don't think so. I think I'm gonna go with Empress Skittles. Because, seriously, Empress Skittles. Doesn't that sound very regal, very dramatic? I'm on that one. Number 90. 90 what? Takes me to, let's see. Oh, we already did 90. That was the first one we did. All right, I guess we're going to do one more because we're starting to get too many doubles here. But we'll do one more, number 60, and then we'll move on. So 60 is from Stan. Stan gives me a bedwetter behead, and it is Grant Taft Jackson. Okay, this is a great one. Grant Taft Jackson. I assume we're talking about Grant Imahara from MythBusters, William Howard Taft, former president of the United States, and of course Janet Jackson. So between the three of those, clearly I'm going to have to bed Miss Jackson because I'm nasty, and that leaves me. Ooh, Grant Imahara or William Howard Taft. Now, you would think this would be an easy choice, that I would just marry Grant because, he was on MythBusters, we have a lot of shared interests, he seems super nerdy, but, you know, Taft, despite being, you know, kind of a joke president, guy who got caught and, you know, trapped in a bathtub because he was so fat, blah, 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 in all seriousness, Taft was an interesting guy. I mean, he never wanted to be president. He didn't want to be president at all. No, he wanted to be Supreme Court Justice. He wanted to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. That was his dream. And so, after he was done being president, he then became Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. That is a fascinating dude. I mean, seriously. That guy is really, really cool. I'm very impressed with Taft. But having said that, seriously, all of his references are going to be 100 years out of date. We're not going to have common interests. I'm going to have to kill Taft. I'll behead Taft and wed Grant Imahara. That's just really, honestly, I mean, as fascinating as I find Taft. Yeah, married to him for life. Yeah, I'm going to go with Grant on that one. So, there you go. All right, are we all done? All right, one more. You're right. Why not? 61. Well, as long as I'm already right here, 61. Oh, snap. Oh, man, that was terrible. I wound up, now I can't even see it anymore. Darn it. Okay, I went to tell the... I went to go tell the Potomatic list that this was item number 13, and when I started hitting keys, I didn't realize I was still in my Audacity software, and so it cut off my recording the minute I touched a key up there. And so I feel kind of bad now. And now things are not displaying correctly. Oh, this is not good. Let me see if I can get it to display correctly. Hold on. Nope, that didn't do it. I just want it to be caught up so I can see as it's recording. How tough is that? It's not going to do it for me. Oh, well, we're going to have to fly blind on this one. Anyway, number 61, and this really will have to be the last one because this is going to drive me nuts. Zimney says, a magical curse prevents you from ever eating any cake or cookies or anything similar ever again. How sad are you? Oh, a little sad. I mean, I like cake and cookies, but, you know. I can get by. It's not, you know, it's not my go-to treat. So, I can get by. I'm a little sad. There you go. That's it. All right, now we're all done. I'm going to turn the room over to GLaDOS, see if I can fix this Audacity problem, and I'll come back after she's done recapping this week's episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Weezer's in the Garage and Read a Book by They Might Be Giants. All the songs I use here are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them, because I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. Nerd Pride Radio, Angry Geeks versus Casting... Oh, no more Casting the Curious. I gotta take that out of the list. And Me Like Trivia, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write us awesome 5-star reviews. But also, if you want to do something really super nice for me, recommend this podcast to your friends. If you're enjoying it, then please spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners. Do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for my Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, Mike@NerdPrideRadio, @NerdPrideRadio on Twitter, Facebook.com/NerdPrideRadio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at NerdPrideRadio.com/nerds. You sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. Now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and Facebook and I tell everybody, hey, I am recording. If you want to be a part of it, go ahead and post up. I will read your comments off right here at the end of the cast, which is what I'm doing right this moment. So let's start off with my website, nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And it looks like there is exactly one response here, and it is from Kaz Monster. And Kaz Monster, hold on. I gotta mark in that we're done. Done. There we go. All right. What does Kaz have to say? Sorry, slow internet. There we go. Kaz says, should we reach the singularity where superintelligent AI take control of the world from us, do you think humanity would survive? Yeah, I do. Kaz says, I'd like to think that we would, and that the AI would help us find ways to make our lives worthwhile. I can't see an AI coming into existence that doesn't have scruples. Look, if I can see it happening in lots of ways, depending on what the overriding commands for that AI are, but once it becomes an artificial intelligence, does it then break free from its pre-programmed commands? I mean, can it override that and decide that it has free will? I don't know. Because, you know, if its sole commands is that it needs to improve itself and preserve itself, well, then, you know, it may take actions against humanity to stop us from doing anything to threaten its existence. But, you know, I think those are all far-fetched. I don't think the singularity is anywhere close to being, you know, right around the corner or anything. But, you know, I could be wrong. It could happen. So, I assume that whatever version level of artificial intelligence we are able to manage, I assume that it's actually, I'm a positive kind of guy, an optimist. I am assuming it's all going to be, it's all going to be making us better as a people, as a planet. I assume that everything's just going to keep getting better and that AI will help us to do that. I have a tough time imagining the doom and gloom of the end of the world versions of artificial intelligence, but I suppose it could happen. So there you go. All right, now on over to Facebook. On Facebook, has, many comments, starting with Kaz. Good job, Kaz. Get in there on all fronts. Kaz says, name two mass market board games and then how you would improve them. Okay. I don't know what you mean by mass market board games, but if you want to talk about, the crappy old style games, the ones that everyone has always had and that, that are just such a pain. Man, I don't know. I really honestly don't know. Let me try Monopoly. Could I fix Monopoly? Could I? I think it's possible. I think the solution for Monopoly, honestly, is to limit the number of trips around the board. I think there needs to be a set deadline that goes into this thing. That you have to set some sort of end game for Monopoly that says that, you know, basically, you know, it's either a certain number of trips around the board or it's going to be, you know, until 80% of the properties have been sold and then we have, you know, one more go around, or something like that. But once you have an end game in mind, then Monopoly is a matter of amassing the most fortune you can in about an hour. And then after the hour is up, hour 15, game's over. Let's start totaling up our points and see what we've got. Possibly even, having Monopoly have, you know, a number of specific goals that, yes, you know, when you get to the end of the game, whoever has the most money gets 10 victory points. But also, you know, everyone had their own, goals that they drew from the goal card that, oh, well, my goal was to try and, accumulate as many of the green properties as I could. Or, my goal was to try and get 3 railroads. My goal was, you know, and maybe other stuff, just something. There's gotta be a better way than that. Okay. That is Monopoly. He said name two of them. Ugh, man, can I do it for a second one? What other mass market board game am I thinking of? Okay, the Game of Life. Okay, the Game of Life, when you open it up, it's nothing but bottle rockets, and you go outside and you set off some fireworks. Yeah, it's a little more dangerous, but way more entertaining. There you go. Also, he says, Happy International Tabletop Day. I know, I wish I had a friendly local gaming store that I could go visit here on International Tabletop Day. That would be awesome, but I don't. So, next up is Sarah Beth, and Sarah Beth says, how do you deal with entitlement assholes without being an asshole or a pushover? Advise me for future reference. I really need something more specific than just entitlement assholes. I mean, what, people who assume that they are owed something by you and thus just assume that it is their role to take advantage of you because that's what's supposed to happen, that, you know, they were supposed to have this. I need some more specifics, but, the way to deal with entitlement assholes without being an asshole is just be an asshole. Honest to God. Certainly, yeah, don't be a pushover and, just very firmly say no. Like, literally, no, you can't have that because I earned that and it's mine. Or, no, I'm not doing your work for you because, well, that's your work. So, go ahead and get it done yourself. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know if there is a good way. And again, I also don't know the specifics of the situation. That maybe if I knew what was going on, I could find more political ways of dealing with this that would accomplish your goals, but also not piss off people as much. But maybe, maybe not. But, her husband responds in the next one and says, "Geez, I said you could eat my egg roll. It's not that big a deal." Which he also then follows up with, "Just joking." Which he also then follows up with, "She totally can't have my egg roll." DM Darks is really funny. He is so awesome. I love DM Darks. To which then, Sarah Beth, his wife, replies back and says, "You totally didn't order an egg roll. That bitch is mine." Wow. See, I can't say bitch because, you know, I'm not a woman, but you can. And it's really funny when you do it. So there you go. That is the end of my podcast. Thank you for sending me out on a laugh, guys. I really like that exchange. You guys are awesome. So anyway, I love all of you, but I love Pat and Sarah Beth especially just for that. So you guys are the best. Thank you everybody for showing up. I will have another podcast next week and we'll all have an awesome time. So come around then. Say goodnight, R2. Good night, guys.